Let's give him a hand. That's awesome. Thank you guys for sharing your story. Man, how we doing? Semi-excited. That's cool. Well, I don't care how you feel, because I'm going to tell you how I feel. I feel great. The temperature is down 5 degrees, and in Texas, that's a big deal. More importantly, it is football season. Starting today. Now listen, there is a rule from now on. When I am here with you, you cannot talk to me about what happened while I was up here delivering God's word, all right? Zip it, because I'm recording it, so I can go back and enjoy it, so you can have my full attention, all right? So that's the deal. We good? We on the same page? I see some of you already like, football season is here, man. It's so amazing. Hey, let's do this. Let's shout out to everyone watching online. It's good to see you guys. You know, we have multiple campuses that tune in with us every single week. My guys over at Missouri City, we have our West End campus and the men at the Ramsey unit. Always awesome to have you guys tuning in with us for church. So this past weekend, we all got to enjoy what? A holiday weekend. Wasn't it awesome? If you had to work, I apologize. I can't help you. But for me, I got to be off on Friday and on Monday. I was here Sunday morning, but that's not work. That's church. But Monday and Friday, I was off. And I'm going to tell you, I did a ton of stuff. You want to hear about it? I'm going to tell you. First thing I did, I won't tell you the order. I did a lot of things. I rested, number one, rested a lot. I got to swim with my kiddos in the pool. That was fun. I got to spend some family time. My mom came over for dinner with us. I got to eat dinner out with friends. I got to work out multiple times. That's always a win. I did fantasy drafts, 4 of them. Don't judge, all right? Not for money, relax, all right? Fantasy drafts, I did all kinds of crazy, fun things. But the wildest thing happened to me. Tuesday morning, got into the office, and someone asked me, hey, how was your weekend? And I'm gonna be honest with you, I started to think back on the weekend and how I was feeling in the moment when they asked me the question. And the answer that I had to give them was, it was okay. And I finished that conversation and they walked away and I started thinking about this, like, what is wrong with me? Why did I just feel kind of meh about the weekend? I literally did all of these things. Oh, and I got to preach on Sunday on my campus. I mean, I got to do all the things that I love to do, and yet I felt meh about this long extended holiday restful weekend. What in the world? And the more I thought about it, I was trying to process this, and what I realized, and you may do this too, is that while I was in one activity, instead of focusing and leaning in and enjoying that activity, I was thinking about what was next. So every fantasy draft, instead of enjoying it, because I've been waiting for months to do this, I was thinking about the next one that was going to happen in an hour. I'm swimming out with my kids in the pool, and I'm thinking about, hey, mom's about to come over in a couple hours. What do we need to do to be ready for mom? And I did this all weekend, and I realize now a lesson that I hope you'll hear from me tonight, and I hope it's helpful to you, because this is what I had to process, and here it is. There is a difference between being at a moment and being in a moment. You can be places and still miss the joy even though you were there. Isn't that crazy? Anybody ever had that before? I think that's how what described my whole weekend. I was there, but I wasn't really there. Now that's important because it's going to set up our story today that we're going to look at. We're in this series in the book of Luke. It's been great. The book of Luke is phenomenal. I encourage you to read it on your own. Today we're going to be in chapter 10, and we're looking at what many will probably recognize if you grew up in church. If you're new, you're going to learn all about this great story, and so it's going to be very familiar to you when we're done. But there's this great little story over a couple of verses, but I think what's going to happen is it is going to challenge us to rethink a couple of things, and I hope it's going to be helpful. So let's begin. I want to look chapter 10, verse 38. We'll use this first verse to kind of set the tone or set the scene for where we're going to go. It says this. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village. Let's just pause. The they there is Jesus and his disciples. They're traveling. They're on their way to the end destination, which is Jerusalem. And in about 6 months, the Easter story, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is going to happen. And so Jesus is on a journey to Jerusalem for that moment to happen, but we're about 6 months away, so there's going to be many stories along the way. And on their way, they stop by. Here it just says a small village. In other parts of the Bible, it tells us that this village was a small village named Bethany. And in Bethany, Jesus is going to encounter a few people. Let's look at the next verse. And a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. So Martha, what we learn from some other parts of scripture is that Martha lived in a home with her sister Mary and her brother Lazarus. So if you've been around the Bible at all, you might start to recognize some of those names. They're familiar. They come up multiple times throughout the New Testament. And so they live in a small home. They all three live together, the siblings. I don't know if you do that. It's kind of not the thing these days, but hey, good for you if you do. Let me know how it goes. I don't think I could survive with my two siblings, but different story for a different day. And so here they are, they're living in this house, and it says that Martha welcomed them into her home. Now, if you're like me, and you don't understand Jewish culture, that might sound a little weird. Here are these people just walking. My best we can tell, they haven't met Jesus yet. This is probably the first of the many encounters they'll have and become friends. So here's this group of people walking by, and Martha opens the door and goes, hey, come on in. Does that sound weird to y'all? Do y'all do that normally? Maybe not. I don't know. Well, here's the thing. Jewish culture helps us to understand why this happened. See, the custom was, in this time and in this area, when a rabbi or a teacher, which Jesus was coming through your city with his disciples, what you would do is you would open your home to him and you would offer food and shelter. And in return, the rabbi would typically not pay, but would spend some time teaching you the things of God, teaching about the Bible, teaching you about the law. And so this was the trade-off. And so what happens here is actually very normal and very customary in where they live. And so Martha welcomes Jesus and his disciples into her home. And then let's look what happens next. And she had a sister called Mary. Now, if you know the story, you know, it's going to get interesting. Love it. Who sat at the Lord's feet, at Jesus' feet, and listened to his teaching. Now, let's pause for just a second, because some of you don't know the story, but for those of you that do, I just want to say something. I want to get this clear in the air. Martha and Mary are both amazing women. They both love Jesus and serve Jesus. We're just going to have a unique experience. We're going to learn how they interacted with him in the home, okay? So I just want to throw that softball out there. We'll come back to that in a minute. So here's Mary, and what does it say? It says that Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to his teaching. Now, this was customary. When a teacher came in, you would sit down on the ground. They would typically sit in a chair or some form of a chair, and they would begin to teach, and you would sit and listen. And this was the picture of being a disciple of the person who was teaching. Okay? So in this moment, Mary sits down, leans in, and what is she doing? She is absorbing everything that Jesus has to say. Listening to every story, every scripture he's unpacking. We don't know exactly what he said, but she is just absorbing. Now let's pause for just a minute. This is important for us to remember. I don't think I have to tell you this. You already know. We all are constantly absorbing things every day, probably every minute of the day. We absorb from the people that are around us. In fact, research tells us that the people that are around us will typically shape multiple facets of our life the longer we spend with them. We're shaped by the music we listen to as we absorb it. We're shaped by the movies and the TV shows. No matter how much we try to pretend it doesn't really affect us, research and science would tell us that it absolutely does. So we're constantly absorbing things. And Mary in this moment is sitting at the feet of Jesus, just absorbing everything he has to say. Now, this is important for you and I to think about, and I just want to just throw it into your lap tonight, because you and I have pretty good control over the things that we absorb in our life. The problem comes when we forget that we're constantly absorbing. You and I have some control, and the impact of this is tremendous. Now, if you have kids, you already know where this is going. You understand this. If you have kids, they watch everything you do. They listen to everything you say, and they eventually do what? They start to mimic you. They never mimic the good things. They always seem to mimic the bad things. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. They always seem to remember these things. And then all of a sudden, they get in a bad mood. Maybe they start whining a little bit. And you're like, what is wrong with you? Who taught you that? And then your wife looks at you and goes, you did. Why can't you just remember the good things, right? So we understand this, we absorb. In fact, sometimes it actually goes in our favor. I thought this was fun, I'll share this with you. A couple years ago, my wife Sarah and I, we started working out in our garage, which is a pretty crazy thing in Texas. But we started working out in our garage with some neighbors that lived on our previous street. And we became in a habit of this. And so we did this about 4 times a week with our neighbors. And what we would do is we'd work out in the garage and all the kids on the street would just play together in the yard. Well, one day we're in the middle of an intense workout that I had programmed. It was amazing. Could have paid for it, but they didn't. That's okay. But we're in this middle of this amazing workout. And my neighbor, my buddy, he goes, dude, look outside. And we look outside and there is all of the kids in a circle. And my daughter Kyla is leading them in a workout. They're doing burpees and jumping jacks and she's yelling at them like, dad, though I didn't really do that. And I'm just going, and we both look at each other like, this is so cool. Look at that. We didn't tell them. We didn't help them. They just jumped in and they did it. And I'll never forget, he looked at me and he said, you know what? If working out with our kids close by influences them to just care a little bit more about fitness, that's probably more beneficial than any of the workouts we'll do together. And I remember thinking, how true. What happened? They were spending time around us multiple times a week and they just started mimicking what they saw. So we understand the power of what I'll describe as absorption. And so here is Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, absorbing everything that he says. This is a good moment, right? This is a helpful thing for you and I to try to lean into. But then look what happens next. Next verse. But Martha, here's her sister, was distracted with much serving. We're going to come back to that line towards the end here, and we'll unpack that. And she went up to him, went up to Jesus, and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I like Martha because I understand Martha. And some of you do too, but you don't have to admit it. There are some Marthas in this room. And if you're like me, you look at this verse and you go, what's the problem here? She's doing everything right. Do you remember what the custom was? It wasn't to just sit and listen. It was to invite them into your home, provide shelter, provide food, and then in return, they would teach. And so here's Martha doing what a lot of us, maybe some of us in the room like to do, which is we got a plan. We're working. What, you go over there and pray and listen and all that, but we're going to go get this done. All right, now some of you are like, ah, it's offensive. But half of the room is that way. I struggle with this. I love to pray. I love to like have great moments and sing songs. But at the end of the day, if I'm honest, I want to go work. I want to get it done, put it together, make it happen. And then you guys come along and enjoy. So I look at Martha and I'm like, man, I think I'm from her bloodline. She may be my great, great, great times a thousand grandma somehow, some way. But I understand her. But what's the problem? Here's the problem. At any other moment, this probably would have been absolutely okay. Any other scenario or situation, this would have been okay. But today, in this moment, it was not. Why? Because Jesus was not just any rabbi. He was God in human form. No other moment would this be true. But in this moment, that was the case. And then you remember what she said? Go back for just a second to the verse. It said that Martha went into the room. I totally get this. You do too. And she told Jesus, hey, tell her to help me. Do you ever help God? I do, because here's the deal. Can we just be honest? Some of y'all in here, you're messed up, man. You got all kind of problems. God is busy dealing with your stuff. So sometimes, I'm kidding, by the way, relax. Some of you are like, who is this guy? Sometimes I just want to help God. Give him a hand. You're busy with all these guys. I'm just going to help you out. Go ahead and handle that for me, because that's definitely what should happen right now. Anybody else? Am I the only one? Gosh, there's therapy up here. That's fine. She tries to help God, and this is where the problem is. Listen, the miss right here, and we're going to unpack this in just a second a little bit more. The miss was that this wasn't just any teacher. This was God in human form in her home, ready to talk and to pour into her life. And she's in the room next door preparing a meal. Now, we'll come back to how complicated that is in just a second. Let's finish out the next couple verses. Next one says this, but the Lord answered her. So here's Jesus's response. Martha, Martha. By the way, this double use of her name, typically in the Bible when we see that, it's just an emphasis here. Like, pay attention when you repeated two words. And then you got to imagine the tone. I just do not picture, and most scholars agree, this is not a condemning, aggressive, how dare you. It's this, Martha, Martha, listen. Okay, so there's the tone. You are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. What is that? It is to be present with me. This is the one thing, Martha, that you need to do. And it's the one thing that you're not. He goes on and finishes. And he says, Mary has chosen the good portion. She's chosen to sit at my feet and to listen, which will not be taken away from her. He says, I am not going to tell her to stop being present with me so she can go in the other room and do work with you. She is doing the best thing. What does scripture tell us? The great commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and then love your neighbor as yourself. He is saying there is a moment here where I, God, am present in this house, in this room, and your sister gets it. This is where you lean in. Now, I want to point out something that I think is interesting, just a little tidbit. Jesus does not give Martha a hard time about being in the other room serving while he's in the other room with everyone else teaching. The only time he gives her a hard time is when she says, go tell Mary to get out of the room. I would probably translate in our terms, get her butt in the kitchen and help us cook. That's when Jesus steps in and says, no, no, no. You're missing it. There's something happening here. So then comes the question, at least for me, what do we do with this today? Because we're gonna encounter these two moments. Opportunities, we'll use a simple word to put it all together, to worship God, but then opportunities to serve God, to go and do things, to serve other people. So how do we navigate between the two, because it's kind of complicated. Go back to verse 40 for just a second. Look at this. Look at what he said. But Martha was distracted with much serving. Doesn't that seem like a bit of a contradiction? Mary's just doing what she was told to do. In fact, all throughout the Bible, there are many verses talking about serving others. Let's look at a couple of them. Look at this first one. Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. Mary had the ability to cook a meal for the people that were visiting as custom described. She was doing the right thing, right? The Martha people, I know you're riding with me here. Let's go to the next one. Romans 12:38. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. What did she do? She opened her home. She welcomed them in. What? This is amazing. Look at the next one, last one. Galatians 6:10, so then, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So this is just three of many verses where not only are we encouraged, but God commands us to go and love each other, to serve each other, to show hospitality to others, to ultimately serve Him. Now, isn't this becoming a bit complicated? And here's what happens. For many of us, that particularly in the room, that are Christ followers, what happens is we stop at service, and that's when we get in trouble. Service, all right? Service is a path to God, not the end destination. Serving brings us into God, brings us to worship Him, brings us to His presence. Think about music for just a second. We just had an amazing selection of songs that we sang together. We were worshiping God. But music in and of itself is just a pathway to God, right? Because some of you tonight maybe are on the way to church today. You were singing Taylor Swift in your car. You could argue it's worship, but that'd probably be an interesting debate. Okay, so music is there, but when we sing particular songs about God, the love of God, seeking God, that's what draws us into this worship, into this devotion with Him. You could say the same with Scripture and with prayer. And so these are pathways to God. They're not the end destination. And when they are the end destination, here's what happens. We get tripped up in what we would describe as religion. A bunch of rules, a bunch of standards that we have to follow instead of a relationship with God. So these two acts that took place, both were good. It was the timing that made the difference. Martha was serving instead of using this opportunity to serve to draw her into God. We have the same opportunity. This is so important for us. The pursuit of a Christ follower is a person, not a practice. We are pursuing God. Now, here's what happens. As you pursue God, as you spend time with Him, guess what? It stirs us to move toward the things He calls us to do. The more time we spend with God, the more we realize, hey, there's some things in my life I want to work on. There's some things in my life I want to do that bring God glory and honor, make Him proud. I think about when I met my wife, Sarah. When we started dating, I did not sit down and make a list of rules that I now am going to follow because I'm dating Sarah. Maybe some of you did, that's okay, but I did not. However, as I started spending time with Sarah, do you know what happened? I started to do some things differently. I started to dress up a little bit more. I started to clean my truck out a little bit more. I started to clean my apartment a little bit. I became more cautious of different things because being around her forced me to move some things into a new place. I even started eating sushi. Fact, fun story. Our first date was at a place called Sushi Hana. And she asked me, do you like sushi? And I flat out lied. This is wrong. Don't do this. But I lied many years ago, BC, before Christ days. And I lied and I said, absolutely, I love sushi. Let's go. And so we show up to the restaurant. She said, well, what do you like to eat? And I said, you know what? It's your night. You pick anything you want, and that's what we'll eat. I had no clue what it was going to taste like. But I'll tell you what, I liked her. And so the rest didn't matter. Turns out I love sushi. I'm grateful for that moment. The deal is, the more time I spent with her, the more it moved me toward responding in a way that makes sense. The same happens with God. As we move toward Him in relationship, the rest of the things will begin to follow. We can get so worked up in trying to follow the rules that we can miss it. Now, for some of us, let me end with a warning. For some of us here, we've been Christ followers for quite a while. And if you're not careful, we can slip back into this. We move from devotion to God back to practice. Back to things we have to do, rules we have to follow. The longer we walk with God, we run the risk of this happening. In fact, just to illustrate this, my wife Sarah and I, we just wrapped up a 4-week marriage program that we were doing at the Missouri City campus called Date Night. And during that program, 4 nights, we were unpacking marital intimacy. Great series, great helpful things. We talked about physical, spiritual, intellectual, and one other one that I can't remember. It was so great, I can't remember. But anyways, as we're unpacking these four, right, we're feeling really good. Emotional, intellectual, spiritual, and physical. Sorry, I had to get that right. We're unpacking these four, and we're teaching it together, so we share the message together, and the couples talk and hang out. We get to the last night, which was last night, and the topic is spiritual intimacy. And during the day, yesterday, before we gave our message, Sarah texts me, and she said, I just want to tell you that this is by far our weakest area in marital intimacy. And I immediately got offended. I am a pastor. That is unacceptable. All the other three can be a problem. The spiritual one can't be the problem. What are you talking about? And the more we unpacked it, here's what I found. I've spent so much time pouring into the church, pouring into the people of the church, which I love and have been called to do, and I have no regret about it. But in the process of that, I come home at times so drained that I'm not worried about pouring into my family, especially pouring into my wife, because she's an adult and a follower. She can handle it, right? And what we realized is while serving God here, I was missing it here with my wife. This happens to us if we're not careful. God desires a deep relationship with you. He wants the Mary moments when it's appropriate and the Martha moments when it's appropriate. But he wants a relationship before anything else. And he knows that everything else will flow out of it. Don't you hate it when you order a package and you're excited, you're coming home from work and you know it's gonna be sitting on the door, and then all of a sudden you get to the door and there's a sticker. I don't know if they even do that anymore, all right? But they put the sticker and what does it say? Sorry, I missed you. But what's worse is when you're actually home and you were just in the other room. You were just doing something that you couldn't get to the door. And they put the sticker. How frustrating, right? Because you wanted that package, whatever it was. How terrible would it be to look back on our life and feel like there was a sticker put where God said, man, I tried, but I'm sorry I missed you. I don't want that for me, and I definitely don't want it for you. So instead, let's do this. Let's not miss God while trying to do things for him. Instead, let's use what we do for God to draw us closer to him. Let's serve him, but let it be a pathway to a deeper connection with God. Mary and Martha were amazing women. But in this one particular moment, Martha got distracted by serving and missed her moment with God. Let's just be sure we don't do that in our own lives. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Christ, can I just encourage you? Maybe some of this you're kind of like, I'm not sure about it. This same principle applies in life. How often we miss things because our attention just shifted. But more importantly, I just want to tell you, man, when you walk with God, what he can do for your life and in your life is unbelievable. I hope you'll think about that tonight and think about a relationship with him. Let me pray for us. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, I just thank you that we can open up the Bible and we can look at a story like this written so long ago and yet begin to pull out so many things that can be helpful for us and challenging for us. Lord, tonight as we think about Mary and Martha, we know they were both amazing women, but in this particular moment, Martha had an opportunity to sit at the feet of you, of God. And she missed it because she got distracted doing something else. Lord, would you help us not to let that be our story? To let us not look back on our life or even seasons of our life and feel like there was a sticker placed on the door that said, sorry, I missed you. Lord, we don't want that to be our story. Help us, Lord, as we walk through this season of our life to see where the areas are that maybe something like this is happening, and help us to course correct those and draw us back to you. Our desire is a deep relationship with you, the God that loves us so much. We thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys.